Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Earlier in our program, we heard about the situation of veterans from Guam. And while I was on the island of Guam, one of the things I heard over and over again from the people there was, we just wish we were Puerto Rico. Because if we were Puerto Rico, then at least people would know where our island was. So we invited Puerto Rico's congressional delegate to the U.S. to tell us what it's like for that island's veterans in terms of health care, jobs, and the recent federal investigations into practices at the VA health system, along with some very specific findings about veterans in Puerto Rico. Joining us from San Juan is Congressman Pedro Pierluisi, Puerto Rico's resident commissioner. Congressman Pierluisi, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you, Maria, for inviting me to participate in your program.
So, just so that we have a basic understanding, make it clear exactly what your role is.
I'm a member of Congress in the sense that I have all the rights, privileges of any member, except that I don't vote on the floor of the House. I represent more constituents than any other member of the U.S. House of Representatives. I represent today roughly 3.6 million American citizens living in Puerto Rico. So my job is not limited to being in the U.S. House, but rather I have to cover the Senate, the executive branch. In a way, I'm like an ambassador at large for all the American citizens living in Puerto Rico.
Paint a picture of the current situation for Puerto Rican veterans on the island. What exactly is their situation now?
We currently have over 100,000 American veterans registered for services in Puerto Rico, in the veterans health system for the Caribbean. But the unofficial number is that we probably have about 150,000 veterans living in Puerto Rico. The veterans administration spends roughly $500 million a year in its operations in Puerto Rico and in the U.S. Virgin Islands. We have one major hospital in San Juan and 10 outpatient clinics throughout the island and the VI. But there are some deficiencies in terms of the medical care that our veterans get in Puerto Rico, and deficiencies in terms of the health insurance that military personnel and military retirees get in Puerto Rico. Let me be specific. I, for one, I have been complaining that I'm concerned about the number of mental health professionals serving in our veterans administration facilities in Puerto Rico. The rate of suicide attempts in Puerto Rico is too high, much higher than in the mainland. So I am complaining about that.
In April of this year, of course, a huge scandal broke out when it was discovered that at least 40 veterans had died while they waited for health care in Phoenix, Arizona's Veterans Health Administration facility. So now, what do we know in terms of federal probes in Puerto Rico's VA health system? What has been uncovered?
No, the Inspector General has done some probes in Puerto Rico and was very critical of the way that claims are being handled in Puerto Rico. I'm talking about disability claims, for example. The Inspector General said that it's taking too long to handle the claims, that the rate of inaccuracy in the determinations is too high. So that's another angle that I have been pursuing.
So in July, CNN reported that an internal Veterans Affairs audit found that appointment schedulers for veteran health services in San Juan, that the schedulers were actually keeping outside logs in order to hide the long delays. So what do you know about that, Congressman?
Yeah, what I know about it is that, for example, when scheduling appointments in the electronic records, they would simply tell the veteran the next available appointment is, and then they would give a date, which could be a month later, right? And then, but when registering this case, they would say that that's actually what the veteran requested, when in fact the veteran was requesting a more, expedited handling. of his or her case. And I understand that measures have been taken or are in the process of being taken, so that doesn't continue to happen.
There was also some disturbing news that was reported in June. A federal agency that protects whistleblowers in the federal government found allegations that the nursing staff at the VA center in San Juan had actually neglected elderly residents by failing to provide services, basic services like bathing and food. So have you been following this probe, and what is the latest?
Yes, I raised, see, my office has gotten a lot of queries and complaints from the veterans community. And I met recently with VA's director of the region, as well as the head of the Veterans Administration Caribbean Health System in Puerto Rico, and I gave them a whole list of the complaints I have received, which include what you just mentioned. So I was giving them the whole list, but at the same time protecting the identity of the people who have, or the veterans, as well as veteran administration personnel, who have been raising these issues with my office.
Congressman, I wonder your reaction to this statement that I have heard, that I heard actually over and over again when I was on Guam. Many Guamanians, veterans or not veterans, said to me, oh my God, we just wish we were Puerto Rico.
The same happens with Puerto Rico. We're just closer to the mainland. We're a lot more, remember. That's the difference. That's the difference. This is a difference of sheer numbers. Puerto Rico can definitely aspire to become a state. In the case of smaller territories, I think the situation is a bit different. But perhaps there, we can find a way in which the territories also have some kind of representation in Congress with a vote. In the case of Puerto Rico, because of our size, it would be what I said a while ago. It should be two senators and five reps in the House.
All right. So just to make clear, because there are some people who maybe have not thought about this, if you live on the island in Puerto Rico, you cannot vote for president.
Exactly. And that's pretty offensive for the veterans and the military service personnel, because they're out there. They put their lives in peril. They defend our liberties, they defend our way of life, they defend our democracy, yet they cannot choose or participate in the election of the commander-in-chief. At the same time, they don't have a voice and a vote in Congress. When Congress makes decisions like, for example, funding the armed services themselves in which they serve.
So finally, Congressman, what do you think that service means to the young in Puerto Rico?
So part of it is tradition. Part of it is really being proud of our American citizenship and being proud of the fact that Puerto Rico is part of the U.S., it's a territory of the U.S., and wanting to defend our nation, wanting to defend our way of life, our system of government. So that's that. There's that too. There are, I bet, in some cases, economic motivations. The Army is a great place to, you know, also develop a career, Army or U.S. Air Force or all the armed forces. Obviously, there's a risk factor that you have to realize and acknowledge from day one when you join the armed forces. But there's no question that serving in the armed forces is an honorable thing to do, as well as a fair way of moving up in life.
Congressman Pierluisi, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA and speaking to us from San Juan.
It's been a pleasure.
Congressman Pedro Pierluisi is Puerto Rico's resident commissioner. He's a Democrat and a member of the pro-statehood New Progressive Party. And we want to know what you think, listeners. Do you think Puerto Rican veterans would be better off if the island became a state? Tweet us at Latino USA and tell us.